My name is Pastor Vaughn. I am the Associate Director of NextGen. I guess that's my title now. But I've bounced around all over the church, and I get the distinct privilege and honor of working with Matt with teaching your kids from ages zero to hero, or zero to 18. And here's my shameless plug. It's not in my notes. Here's my shameless plug. If you want to join that team, we've got a great vision that's going to carry the next gen. And I'm telling you that it's a direct gift from God. Come join that team. There's my shameless plug. We need you in the nursery. Anyways, okay, here we go. So I want to go to the Lord in prayer really quick. And the reason why is because I actually gave this sermon in practice in my car, and I ended up offending myself. So we're going to go ahead and give God this sermon. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus in heaven, I pray that you settle my heart and my mind. This is yours. For some reason, you gave me this this topic, and you've given it to me for a long time. And God, I give it right back towards you. And I know that this is going to be offensive in some regards. And Lord, it's not my goal to make this an acrimonious exchange. It's my goal to just point people towards you. God, I give it to you. In Jesus' holy son's name I pray. And all of us said, amen. Okay, cool. Here's the deal. I love interaction. So you're going to have to interact with me. I have something on my foot. You're going to have to interact with me, or I'm going to lose my mind here. You should have got a sermon guide. Everybody, can you raise it up if you have it? Or raise your phone up. I know we're 21st century, all that good stuff. Cool. Good job. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go off that sermon guide. But at the top, I want you to start thinking about this definition. I define Jesus as, and I'm going to talk while you think about it. So don't be chief, no fun, and no play. Go ahead and write down your definition of who Christ is. And as you do that, guess what? I'm a pastor. I'm going to talk. So go ahead and start working on that. I think Logan's on slides. Logan, let's hit up with the first picture. Straight up, right. Okay. That's a pretty picture. That's a pretty lamb. Okay, sorry. I'm not in the kids department. I got to get my head straight. That's a pretty picture. Somebody tell me how that makes you feel. Come on, somebody. Peace. Wait. One back there. What? Love. Safe. What? Gentle. Compassion. Protecting. Shepherding. Oh, I like that one. Shepherding. Good. That's actually a really, really good start. Cool. I like the lamb. I raised lambs. Don't ever do that. They're dumb as posts. Anyways, I got another story about that. All right, let's hit the next one. Now, Grandma Glennie, if you're watching right now, she's home. Please forgive me for this. Please forgive me. Okay, this picture. Raise your hand if you've seen this in somebody's house. And that's the reason why I'm apologizing to my grandma right now. Tell me what this one tells you. Any difference? Same? 1950. Okay, dated. We'll go with dated. What else? I like that. Anything different? Looking over the world. Looking over the world? Well, then go to the next slide. Go to the next one. Looking over the world. I actually dig that one. I actually dig that. Looking over the world. Sorry, Logan, can you go backwards one? So, here's the deal. Blonde hair, blue eyes. These pictures, this one actually did me a lot of harm as a kid. I'm just going to level with you. I thought to myself, if I have to look like that sissy, I don't want to have any part of Christianity. Sorry to be real. But seriously, the artist, are you kidding me? Blonde hair, blue eyes? Google what a Jewish dude looks like. Please, find Google. He doesn't look like this. I promise. Thank the Lord Jesus didn't look like me. Blonde hair, blue eyes, right? So I look at this and then go ahead and jump now to the next picture. The thing about these is accuracy was thrown out the window to invoke an emotion. Okay? Let's be honest. Look, very, very peaceful, tranquil, long, flowy Fabio hair. I can't believe I know who Fabio is. And all of you that laughed knows who Fabio is. Don't judge me. Oh, we're going to get into judge here in a second. Anyways, so when you look at this, he's very, very tranquil, looking over the village, and he's got it all figured out. But like I said, accuracy? Maybe, maybe not. Look, I don't want to talk about the ins and outs of what Jesus actually looked like. That's not my goal today. But I do want to come back to the accurate view, the biblical view of who Jesus really is. Because that's kind of a big deal. Can we not agree? Is that not a massive deal? Why are we here? Are we here because of the pretty little lammy Fabio guy? Are we here because he is King Jesus? And we're going to break that down today. I think in every one of the sermons I've given, I've quoted C.S. Lewis, so I might as well not stop. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and I want to make sure I get this right. It says, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, quote, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God, unquote. That is the one thing we must not say, says Lewis. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, or catch this, or he'd be the devil from hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse." Wow. How's that for an introduction? Where is your definition to Jesus? Hopefully you wrote something down there or you thought about that. So I ran a trial. I'm big into running trials. And this person, I love, love, love dearly. I asked them, I go, hey, define your idea of Jesus. And they did a great job. They did exactly what we did when we started out the sermon. Love, peace, comfort, shepherding, Fabio with the lamb. Right? Did a great job. Great, great, great job. And I read them this description. Then I saw heaven open up. And behold, a white horse. If you want to join me, by the way, this is Revelations chapter 19, verse 11. I did that on purpose because a lot of people, when I read this, they're like, is that in the Bible? Check this out, Revelations 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven open up, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems, crowns. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven are arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. We're following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepresses of the fury and wrath of God. Huh. Does that challenge your definition yet? It did mine. Guys, I don't have time to break down everything that's going on in Revelations. Oh my goodness, that's like a whole seminary worth of data right there in just Revelations chapter 19. But just a couple highlights. Just a couple highlights. Number one, yes, he's going to judge us. In this overtly sensitive, wokey environment where people say, don't judge me, don't judge me. Hey, congratulations. Somebody's going to hold us accountable. He is our judge. Now, wait, here's your off ramp. If you're a tender spirit and you're automatically starting to beat yourself up and you're a saint, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's your off ramp. There's some of you right now, I could already feel it. You're having a hard time because you're starting to beat yourself up. Well, hold tight. I got another one coming for you. Just hold tight, okay? But listen, you guys, he isn't going to come like Fabio next time. He's not. Check out number two. He wages war. So the first time he come, how did he come rolling up into Jerusalem? Come on a donkey. How's he going to come the second time? He ain't riding no donkey, right? Think Abram's tank. Here we come, right? Sorry, army. comes back. All right, he wages war. He literally wipes out people that are fighting for the beast. Number three, on his head are many crowns. Look, he is the boss's boss. In our culture right now, especially younger generation, we struggle, we chafe against authority. There's no appellant to this. He is the highest rung. There's no higher. He is it. He is King Jesus, right? Number four, he has a name on him that nobody knows. The mystery of that should make us say, maybe he isn't my buddy and my chum. The mystery of that sets him apart. If I come up to Keith and I say, hey, Keith, slap him on the back. Man, it's looking a little thin today. He's my friend. Hopefully I can do that. He's going to hold me accountable tomorrow, right? Maybe not now. But I mean, he's my friend. Listen, I can't do that with King Jesus with this. He's not my buddy. He outranks me. Does that, especially us military guys and people that are in service, this should resonate, right? All right, the next one. He's covered in blood. Notice nobody else is. He's the one that gets all the cred for the victory points. We don't. Which means, what's he doing? Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Wow, I'll say that fast 10 times. Out of his mouth, his words are laying waste. And he's executing the wrath of God. How's that now? Mine had to change a little bit. As I start reading God's word, Keith asked me a long time ago, he was like, hey, I want you to preach this sermon. I'm like, I got nothing, man. And then God pinged me on a prayer walk one morning. He's like, I've been giving this to you for a year. Every time I read my devotions, I circle the word fear. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I dare you to do that. We need a healthy respect. Listen, here's my big point. On your piece of paper, definitely write this down. My big point, the main crux of salvation depends on our proper understanding of who Jesus is. The crux of salvation depends on the proper understanding of who Jesus is. The biblical Jesus. Look, if we are devoid of biblical truth and understanding of who Jesus is, guess what we're doing? We're making a Jesus that fits my box. And I dig my box because my box is comfortable. Guys, that's idolatry. Maybe you shy away from the Jesus that's executing God's wrath, but in favor of the Fabio Lammy dude. Look, there's a time and a place. He came lowly, weak, and meek. He came. Yes, he is that. But there's a whole host, a bank of evidence that supports a very complex personality that we constantly and consistently miss. Do you guys realize that in the military, they make you learn what the enemy does? This is crazy. The only thing I'm like Forrest Gump, round peg, round hole for the army. I was really good at infantry tactics because I spent a lot of time learning what the enemy would do. And they always put me in charge of that. It was really, really fun, right? I love being the devil's advocate. And we would spend tons and tons of time doing that. You know what? There's a place in the Bible that addresses that. Go to Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 5. I had to ask Keith how to say this morning because you're going to mess it up too. Hey, can you guys go ahead and put up the main point up there? Okay. Mark 5, verse 1. Mark 5, verse 1, it says, they, meaning the disciples and Jesus, they came to the other side of the sea of the country of, yeah, you can't say it either, so don't worry about it. Yeah, that. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself in the stones. Okay, so I just gave you a bunch of context. Check out verse 6. Check this out. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, fell down before him. His kids don't even do that, by the way. Ran, fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." Does that sound like the Lammy Fabio guy? Look, you can learn a lot from this demon. He ran, he prostrated himself before the Son of the Most High God. He screamed and shrieked, "Don't torture me." Now we're not demons. I get it. I don't want to put ourselves there. But look at the humility. Look at the absolute awareness of who he's speaking to, right? I mean, if that doesn't shock us just a little bit, man, we need more coffee this morning or something. Look, there's 178 references to Jesus' complex personality. Titles. I'm not going to use names. There's 178. Are you guys ready? Because we're going to go through line by line, scripture by scripture. No, we're not. Look, I picked my top 10 on your sermon guide. That's Vaughn's top 10. By no means is that exhaustive. Matter of fact, it's almost an insult. Because 178 different references to his personality, and there's a link on your sermon guide. Pastor Mike Fabares did a phenomenal study on it. I'm only about a third of the way through of a 15-week study. But anyways, these are Vaughn's top 10. Check out the first one. The scripture reference is Matthew 1:1. He is Christ. That's not his last name. Good grief. That's not his last name. Jesus, Yeshua, or Joshua, as it's translated, right? It means the Lord saves. That's a common name back then. Christ is not. That means anointed one. That means anointed, anointed from on high. God anointing. That should automatically keep us from dropping his name in vain. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you have a friend that does it and claims to be Christian, you have my permission. Sorry. Anyways. All right. No. Okay. I digress. All right. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 33 says, and we covered this in Ignatium. We're not going to hit this again too much. He is the judge. There's no appealing his decision. He's it. He's the final authority. That's what that means. The next one, I don't even know that it's on the screen, but Luke 1:78. I love this one. This is the helpless romantic in me. Anybody ever gone for a morning walk and seen the sun up and just said, "Thank you, God"? Do you know who you're thanking? He is the rising sun. He is your sunrise. Check. I dare you. Look that one up. That one will get you to melt right there. Okay. Let's jump to the next one. Lamb of God. Look, I've been knocking that picture all morning. John 1:29, he is the Lamb of God. Raise your hand if you're a hunter. Come on, be proud. I'm out there too, right? We like the Lamb of God who was what? We like the Lamb of God, but we don't talk about the last part. Have you guys ever seen, I'm sorry, kids, put your hands up over your ears. Have you ever seen one bleed out? Congratulations, that's what our sin did to the Lamb of God. I hate to be that vivid. I hate to be that repulsive to you. But you watch one actually go through that? That's what our Lord did. And I'll tell you, he's not going to do it again. All right, that one kind of jacks me up. John 8:58 is the next one. I am. You guys need to check this out. This isn't just a half-hearted comment that he throws out. As soon as he said this to the Pharisees, you know what their reaction was? They picked up rocks to stone him. Why? You got to look at the enemy, right? Why would they do that? He claimed the godhood. He claimed divinity. When he said, I am, it took them mentally back to the burning bush when Moses says, who shall I say who sent me? And God said, I am who I am. Right? When he said, finally after being beat up, who do you say you are? Who, what, who, how come you just won't tell me? Finally he says, I am. Guys, our idea of Jesus, I'm getting goosebumps underneath my hair. God is so much bigger than what we give him credit for. Jesus is so much bigger than what we give him credit for. The next, raise your hand if you're a builder. Come on, builder. Troy, where are you? What happens, Troy, if you get one of the four corners wrong on a concrete slab? It's rip it out, start over. He is the cornerstone. He's the indispensable person. Check out Acts 4:11 with that. He's the corner. He is the stone that the builders rejected. Yeah. And yet he is it. Right. There's no other stone that can be used. With that, he's the head. Ephesians 4:15. I told you, he's the top dog. There's nobody higher. There's no way that you can appeal his decisions. He's in charge. Hebrews 12:2 refers to him as the founder and perfecter. Your kids, when they come to church, I always ask them this trick question. I'm trying to find a face that I can call out. But I always ask them, I go, is Jesus in the Old Testament? Some of them are like, no. Trick question. John 1:1, in the beginning was the what? Was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was, you guys know the verse. Guess what? His fingerprint is in every section of that book. Yes. And if you can't see it, keep reading it. If you still can't see it, find a saint that can help you walk through it. And I'm going to get into that here in a second. Okay, the next one's kind of funny. Revelations 5:5. It's not really funny. I probably shouldn't do that. Revelations 5:5. He is the lion. Okay, have anybody seen some documentary on somebody that owned a lion, and then the news is like, hey, this guy got eaten by his pet lion. Shocker? Anybody? No. That's up there akin to owning a snake. Come on. I shouldn't say that. Sorry, Jen, I know you own those ridiculous animals. But listen, he is a lion. I don't cuddle with a lion. I don't curl in and pet his pretty mane. Listen, another C.S. Lewis, I dare anybody to, you got to tell me where I got this. I wish I could say it with an English accent. I'm not even going to try. It says, Aslan is not a tame lion. He can't be controlled, not in the sense that his anger or nature can't be controlled, but he can't be manipulated by others. Where'd I get that? Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Where do you think C.S. Lewis got it? The Bible. Look, he is not my chummy chum friend. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to run up to him. Hey, can I pray your pretty bean? It's not going to happen. All right, anyways. Okay, I got to move on. You guys, I really, really feel like, dude, I can't concentrate like that. No, I'm joking. Sorry, I've always wanted to say that. Dude, don't worry about it. I was actually getting ready, and man, this was like profound. I was going to bring it. No, actually, I was stalling. I had totally lost my lines. I'm joking. Guys, this is a big deal. It gets back to the big point. The crux of our very salvation depends on the very best understanding of who the biblical Jesus is. And if, listen, I've hit you pretty hard today on that. But do you realize that there's four types of people that are represented in this room? Yeah, I know, it's an overgeneralization. Go with me on this. There's four types of people in this room. And if you do the math, that's okay, 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. First type of person is the people that are in this room that are not saved, and you know you're not saved. You got tricked to come here today. You got guilted into coming today. Mama said, hey, if you don't come, I'm going to take away your dirt bike, something like that, I don't know. Maybe that's you. And everything that I've been saying and quoting to you is just hieroglyphics up on a wall. Look, I'm glad you're here. I am super glad that you're here, and I'm praying that God opens your heart and mind. I'm going to ask you, if you have the guts, keep coming back. I just called you out. Keep coming back. Another 25% of us are the people who are not saved, and they don't know they're not saved. These are the cloudy ones. I love these people. I don't know. It'll work out. It'll work out in the end. I don't know. Again, I'm glad you're here. But don't you think that if life is this big, you're only here for 80 to 100 years, right? I'm hoping. If life is this big, how big's eternity? You probably ought to spend some time noodling that. If that's you, I'm glad you're here. I would love to speak to you. Number three are my saints. These are the people that are saved, and you know that you're saved. Here's my challenge to us and to you. Is your biblical definition of Jesus in line with Scripture? Yeah, I just hit us hard. Because if you say, hey, I don't read God's word because I don't have time, that's an excuse. You surely have time to watch TV. You surely have time to play Clash of the Clans. Maybe I don't read the Bible because it's confusing. Start. Just start. Start in John. It's a marathon. You start reading it. The first time you read the entire book, and it's a time, I was talking to Pastor Will this morning. The first Bible I grabbed, and I was committed because somebody said, and got in my face and did exactly what I'm doing. Somebody got in my face and he said, if you call yourself a Christian and you don't read this, how dare you? Pastor Will and I were talking and he goes, yeah, it's hard. First Bible that I ever read was King James Version. Don't do that. Start with ESV. But anyways, the second Bible I read was another KJV. The third Bible I read was an ESV. You guys, it's a marathon. You get in it. Start the walk and pretty soon you'll start running. Sorry, I got going. All right, the last one is the scariest one. This goes back into Luke about the soils, but here's the last one that scares all of us. This should make all of us a little uneasy. People who are not saved but think they are. Maybe you are the one that likes your definition of who Jesus is and you're not willing to listen to me today. Maybe you don't want to get out of that comfort little box, but I'm telling you, your salvation depends on it. You got to have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. Or when you show up, you know what he says? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. I'd rather not hear that. I'd rather hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Look, you guys, this is like me saying, and in my mind I see good friends blindfolded and walking into a street, and I'm too afraid to do something about it. Well, here I am. I'm going to come, and I'm going to put my shoulder right into you and knock you out of the way, and it's going to hurt. But I'd rather do that than watch my good friends think, I got it all figured out. A false assurance should absolutely force us to rethink how we look at Jesus. Look, how do I know that I know? I'd ask Britton and the worship team, if you guys had come forward, how do I know that I know? Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yeah, but you know what? I can manipulate every ounce of my feelings. I can literally have it do anything I want it to do. How do I know that I believe? Okay, on your worship guide is a self-assessment. I'd ask you to get that out right now. Please just, maybe you missed every part of what I said. I'm okay with that, but don't miss this. We're gonna take a little test. Don't cheat, don't look at your husband. Husbands, don't look at your wives, no elbowing, okay? This is for them. The first two questions are trick questions. Wow, there you go. I gave you the first two answers. Do you love the biblical Jesus perfectly? If you're truly honest, it's gonna be no. Because we like to put things ahead of him. Maybe not today, God. I don't need to read that word today. Maybe not today, God. I want to take the boys fishing. That's a good thing. Maybe not today, God, because I want to go serve in the kids department. That's a great thing. Do we love him perfectly? The biblical Jesus? No. Next question is akin to that. Do you love the biblical Jesus like you should? Come on. I blow this all the time. It's got to be no. Here's your last one. This is where it comes together. Do you love him at all? Do you have an ounce of affection, an effect, a pull? Do you have any desire to know the biblical Jesus? And this is where your theology really, really comes, because you can't have that unless he gives that. A dead person, if we are truly dead in sin, it's like me being wheeled out on a gurney. I am completely flatlined. I'm not gonna be able to say, hey, yo, I need some CPR. No, it's Jesus reaching down and breathing the Spirit back into you. If you have affection towards Jesus Christ, just a little bit, he's calling you. He's pulling you. He's tugging on you. We did this whole series on this one thing. Maybe you've been postponing this until I don't know when. When the sky's blue, congratulations, is it finally blue? Guys, I'm begging you. This is me hitting you out of the road of the truck. This is it. I've appealed to all four buckets. There's an action step for each and every one of you. And I would ask that if you're wearing a red lanyard, if you could come on up. These guys are, these are trusted people. These are solid saints. They're not just randomly picked. These guys know how to pray. These guys know how to lead you in a plan of salvation. Maybe you're the first bucket and you're like, this is weird, I wanna know more. Maybe you're a saint and you're like, man, I have missed my definition of Jesus. I need somebody to pray with me. Come find me afterwards too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. And yeah, it chafes, it hurts. It tells me when I'm wrong. And I gotta be honest with you, sometimes I hate that. But God, you are true. Your word is true. Your word cuts. And God, I pray for each and every person here today. God, no matter who they are, no matter what they profess, Lord, help them to hear your Spirit. God, encourage them to come forward, I beg you. Thank you for being bigger than I can comprehend. In your holy son's name, Jesus. Amen. Now listen, these guys are here for you. As we close, I want you guys to remember the Next Steps class tonight, 4 to 6, please come for that. But on a very, very serious note, come and find these guys out. Thank you very much, you guys. Have a good evening.